beginning with the first verse. And as time will permit, we're going to look here very closely. And the title of my message today is this: Joy in Trials. Joy in trials. Now you may say, well, Pastor, where do you find that there is joy in trials? You could probably tell me today, Pastor, all the trials that I've ever went through and the things I've dealt with, there's no joy in that. Well, I'm going to share with you today in God's Word that there is joy in trials. And I'll tell you, to the natural mind, I guess that behooves you, and you'd be able to scratch your head and say, I don't understand, but let's look what the Word of God says. Not what I say, but what the Word of God says about joy in trials. And let's look here, James 1:1. James speaks, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He says, greetings. He's given a letter here today. Greetings. And he's given a word of encouragement. He says this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, and he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field he will pass away, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat that is withered, it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perish. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Can I hear an amen to God's word? James writes to the family of God by using the word my brethren. And he's not talking to the sinners, but he's talking to the saints. He's talking about those that love the Lord, those that are serving the Lord, those that have claimed Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, my brethren, or we'll go on and say my sisters, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. We become a part of God's family through faith. And I want you to know today, it is through faith. And I encourage you today, faith is not faith unless it's been tested. Let me say that again. Faith is not faith unless it's been tested. If it has been tested and you've been tested and you've passed through that test, then I want you to know today your faith is strengthened day in and day out, and it increases as you go through the test of life. You and I are going through a test. You may not be going through a test right now, but I want you to know eventually you're going to go through a test, and it's whether you're going to pass it or whether you're going to fail it. And so I want you to know today we will pass every time as long as we keep Christ in the center of our heart and life, and that we know that He is in charge of everything that we're doing, everything that we go through, everything that we deal with. Letting Him be in charge will strengthen our faith every day. Romans 5 and 1, the Apostle Paul writes and says, therefore, having been justified by faith we are justified, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, as our faith is built, as our faith is strengthened, we have peace through the things that we deal with in life. No, it may not be fun, it may not be exciting, it may not be pleasant, but I want you to know, through your faith in Christ Jesus, there is a peace, there is a calmness, there is a stillness that takes place as you stretch forth your faith into Christ and say, Lord, it is not my ability, because it's not your intellect, it's not your wisdom, it's not all of the ability that you have, but it's everything that Jesus Christ that's within you begins to come alive in your life, and the character of Christ begins to take place because your faith is strengthened and you're saying, I'm not relying on myself, I'm not relying on my ability, but I'm now relying on Jesus Christ, and the trials that I go through, I will find that it will be joy, and the joy will come because there's peace that passeth all understanding, and through the peace of God, I can make it another day. You can make it tomorrow. You can make it next week. You can make it next month, because you know the joy of the Lord is your strength. And with joy God brings to you, it is joy unspeakable, full of glory, and God says, therefore I am with you every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. You can become a child of God by receiving Christ, knowing that Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer for the world we live in today. I was just sharing with somebody this morning that here we go in another country, third world country, that Hezbollah has dropped a bomb on Israel again, killing 12 children in a park. And so now we see war is about to take place once again. And so we see turmoil. We see all of this going on. As the Bible says, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus has said. But there's unsettlement. There's no rest. But we know that Jesus Christ is in charge, that He is in control, and that there's no surprise at what's going on in this world, but it is for us to look to Him, the author, the finisher of our faith, that we step at the foot of the cross and look to the cross and say, Lord Jesus, help me through the things that I deal with in life. And guess what? He begins to come on the scene. John 1 and 12 says this, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. You're not just some afterthought. You're just not something that's just sitting on the side. You are now, when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life, you are now children of God. You are now in the palm of His hands. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's not angels. There's not principalities. There's not things up, down, wide, sideways that can separate you from the love of God. He's giving you a promise. And even through your trials, He is going to take you through it. He may not take it away from you, but He'll be with you and guide you through. And there will be peace that will come upon your heart and your life. I want you to know today, it is not joyous when we see that we go through things in life. You may tell me, well, Pastor, I just don't understand. It seems like I'm putting one step forward and three steps back. It seems like I'm trying to save for my retirement. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to build this. I'm trying to build that. And it just seems like I can never get ahead. It just seems like there's just bills on top of bills and things are happening. Listen, I want you to know today that there are going to be things that's going to hit us in life. There's going to be things that we're going to know of, and there's going to be some things that we're not going to know of at all. And it's going to come as a surprise. But be reassured that God is with us every step of the way. He's with you every step of the way, and that He's going to take care and provide for you. James also writes this about joys and trials. We are to see the trials as joy. Here's why we see that there is joy in trials, is because it's not just you going through what you're going through. Jesus is with you in what you're going through. In other words, the Bible says that He would put no more on us than you can bear, but He would make a way of an escape. So He knows how much you can handle. He knows how much I can handle. And therefore, we count it joy when we go through things, because we know who's in charge. If Jesus is not in charge and you're in charge, you're going to make a big mess of it. And you're going to have a big mess on your hand. But if Jesus is in charge and He's in control, then the things that you're dealing with, we find joy not in ourselves. We don't find joy in our circumstance, but we find joy in Jesus Christ, because He's the sustainer that's going to take care of us and bring us through the things that we're dealing with in life. Trials are not joyful, yet we can joy in Christ. We can joy in Christ. We may not joy in the circumstance that we're in, but we can have joy in Christ. Yet how can we be joyful in them? I'm going to give you a few points today about the joy in trials. First, we can look past our trials. Don't look at just the moment. Don't look at just the circumstance. Don't just look at the situation, because the enemy wants you to look at your circumstance. He wants you to look. He thinks that that's the end, that he's got you, that he's there. There's no way you can move out. There's no way you can go forward. There's no way that you can get out of what you're in. You've got to look past the trials. You've got to look past what the enemy is trying to do. And you've got to talk to yourself. Listen, I know as I'm getting older, it seems like I talk more to myself than in my younger days. But sometimes you've got to talk to yourself. Sometimes you've got to tell yourself, listen, we've got to get through this. We're going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. Why? Not with just yourself, but you're going to get through it with Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He who begins a good work in you is faithful to complete it to the very end. And understand, you may be going through something, but it's not yours to own. It is Jesus Christ, that we lay it all on Him, on the altar of Jesus, and let Him take the problem and the situation that we have. Let Him take charge of it. Listen, James says this in James 1 and 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing that your testing of your faith will produce patience. When there's nothing else that you can do, listen, it's almost like we want to fix things. And naturally, men are like that. Men like to fix things. You like to fix the problem. Sometimes you can't physically fix the problem. Sometimes it's a spiritual thing that has to take place, that Jesus has to do the fixing. Jesus has to do the healing. Jesus has to do what He's called to do. Let Him do His job. Let God the Father do His job. Let God the Son do His job. Let God the Holy Ghost do their job. Let them do their jobs in their life. We tie up their hands when we try to take it on ourselves. Listen, but let patience have its perfect work. There is perfect work that goes on when you surrender it. Surrender to His Lordship. Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you will lack nothing as you patiently wait. The Bible says if we wait on the Lord, we will renew our strength. We will mount up like wings as eagles. We will soar and not faint. We must wait and let God have His perfect way in our life so that we can be patient and not lacking anything. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience looks forward to better things. Let me say it again. Patience looks forward to better things. Patience looks beyond today and the clouds to sunshine. Let me say this again. Patience looks beyond today and the clouds to sunshine. It may be cloudy. It may be doom. It may be gloom right now. But I want you to know the old saying is Sunday's coming. There's a new day dawning. There is something that's going on the horizon. There's victory on top of victory. You might be down, but it's never for you to stay down. It's never for you to stay planted down, but it's time for you to move. It's time for you to bloom. It's time for you to blossom because God is the victor and there's victory in Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Jesus has set the example at the cross. Hebrews 12 and 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Despising the shame, took on. Yes, He was human. He dealt with humanity, but He took upon the cross. He could have come off the cross, but He stayed on the cross. Despising the shame, He stayed on the cross so that you and I would have victory and that you and I could live the victorious life, not within ourselves, but live the victorious life in Christ Jesus day by day because of what He did, not because of what you're doing, but because of what He did. Listen. The pain and the shame of the cross made it a terrible trial. Jesus looks beyond these to the joy that would follow. Yes, God the Father could not look at His Son upon the cross because the sin was on the cross. And yet even Jesus cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when God the Father could not look at His Son, look at sin on the cross. But that's when Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. And He gave up, as the Bible says in the King James, He gave up the ghost. He died. But He died for you. He died for me. He took on all of the trials that you and I go through. He took on all the tests that you and I go through. Why? Because He's the victor. He brings victory to our lives so that it is related to us. He knows exactly what you and I go through. He has been tempted. He has been tried. He's been ridiculed. He's been beaten. He's been stabbed. He's gone through everything that a person could go through so that He can relate to you and I today. That's the God that I served to allow His one and only Son to be born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, joy was ahead for Jesus after the cross. He would have the joy of his resurrection and ascension to the Father. He would have the joy of the coming rapture and his kingdom. He would have the joy of millions saved and sharing heaven with him. My second point today, we can look for the potential for good in our trials. We can look for the potential for good in our trials. James 1 and 5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. In other words, are we lacking wisdom in our trials? Are we needing some help through our trials? Are we about to make a wrong move in the flesh and not allowing the Holy Spirit to take over in our lives, in our Christian walk? We'll talk to God the Father, we'll talk God to the Son, but a lot of times we won't hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us, and the Holy Spirit is the comforter that has been comforting us, that's been left here with us. See, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to take place even in our lives, to be operating when we deal with a trial, because the Holy Spirit will help us through the things that we deal with in life. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit will say, oh, you shouldn't say that. The Holy Spirit will say, nope, you shouldn't go there. The Holy Spirit will say, wait a minute. It's a check and balance that the Holy Spirit that lives in our hearts and life helps us day in and day out in our walk with God. It lets us know what we're about to get into, what we're about to deal with. The Holy Spirit leads, He guides, He directs. He's the comforter that comforts us. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7 says this, the Apostle Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Listen, a messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I plead with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities of the things that I'm going through, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure, look at this, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in needs, in persecution, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. For Christ's sake. He was not doing this on his own. Christ was with him. Christ was in him. Christ did not take the thorn away from his side. Why? Because he wanted Paul to be strengthened, but he wanted Paul to be alert. He wanted Paul to continue to stay the course. He wanted Paul to stay humble. He wanted Paul to do a work in him. And he knew that the only way he could do what God had called him was to humble him and to put that thorn in his flesh, that he may do the work that Jesus Christ had called him to do. And there are times that God puts things in our lives to humble us and to bring us where we need to be, not where we want to go, to take us somewhere that we've never been. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are lessons to be learned in our trials. There are changes that need to be made within us. Romans 8 and 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are that called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I don't know how all things get together, but God says all things work together. You don't understand. I don't understand. And there'll be times in our life that we may never understand. But God says all things work together. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm good. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. You don't know what I'm going through. I hear you. I hear you. But God says all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those that are called according not to your purpose but to His purpose. All things work together. Don't ask me how it's going to come together. He says all things are come together. Understand, your thoughts are not His thoughts. Your ways are not His ways. How unsearchable are His ways? They are far past finding. You cannot. You'll never understand God because He doesn't think on the minds that we think. See, He's already way ahead of us. He already knows us. But you say, Pastor, how does He know us? He knows us through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's where the humility comes in. That's where the grace comes in. That's where the mercy comes in. None of us is worthy to step before God Almighty. But the only way that we can step, and we will step in front of Him one day, to be absent from the bodies, to be present from the Lord. And when we leave this life, then there comes judgment. We're not worthy to step before God, but how we're able to step before God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has paved the way that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, we need wisdom to understand what God is doing in our trials. So when James says if we lack wisdom, that we're to pray to ask for wisdom, we need wisdom. Because we need to understand what God is doing in our trials. A lot of times we may not understand what He's doing. We may want to shake our fist at God and say, God, why are you putting me through this? Why are you putting my family through this? And we want to take our fist at God and blame God. It's not for us to take our fist and blame God. It's for us to embrace the cross. It's for us to embrace God's love and His mercy and say, Lord, it's not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, I'm trusting You through it all. And Lord, I need understanding. And when you call upon God and say, God, I need understanding, that's when God will give you the understanding to go through the trial. And there will be peace that passeth all understanding through everything you're going through, because it's not about you, but it's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified in your life to give you the victory on top of victory. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. 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 Your trials are bringing you to your next promotion. Let me say it again. Your trials are bringing you to your next promotion. You're being promoted time and time again when you're going through trials. It is not a waste of effort to go through the test of life, through the trials that you may deal. It brings you into promotion that God will continue to strengthen you. Your faith will be strengthened. And when you speak to the enemy has to flee because you have moved by faith and not in yourself. Hallelujah. We can ask for this wisdom and receive it. Our Lord imparts this wisdom freely to those who ask for it. God may be developing the new attitude in us through our trials. God may be activating some talents in us through our trials. God, who may ask, impart wisdom through another person to us in our trials. Oh, let me say this again. God may be developing new attitudes in us through our trials. God may be activating some talents in us through our trials. God who may ask, impart wisdom to another person to us in our trials. My third point today, we can look to the power of prayer in our trials. We can look to the power of prayer in our trials. James 1 and 6 says this, but let him ask in faith, with not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Listen. When we ask in faith, we must believe in faith. You can say all day long that you've got faith, but if your faith has not been tested, you don't have faith. Because if you act like, yeah, whatever, God, if you want to heal them, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. That's a double-minded, and he's unstable in all his ways. There's the scripture. Yeah, God, if you want to heal them, yeah, go ahead and heal them. But if you don't, that's okay. No, you've got, when you call on the name of the Lord and you're praying for healing, you are to believe and you are to trust and you are to know without a shadow of a doubt that your healer, your provider, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, he is there on that moment. And when you call upon the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is there when you call on his name. There to heal, to be the healer in your life. Listen, we are invited to ask for help in our trials. We don't go to a friend. We don't go to social media. We don't go to mom and dad. We go to Jesus. We go to the Lord. We go to him. We say, Lord, I need you to help me with this problem. Lord, I need you to help me with what I'm dealing with. If we lack wisdom, let us call upon the Lord and he will give us the wisdom that we need. Hebrews 4 and 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here is it written. It is written that Jesus Christ is our high priest, who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points, he was tempted. He has been tried, as I've been sharing with you. Everything he's gone through is everything that you and I are going through today. And he's been greater through things more than we have. But he's been there. He's done that. He can relate. He can relate. He knows. He knows exactly. Listen, yet he had no sin. Grace to help is available in our trials. The grace is available in the time of need. God is there to hear and answer us in our trials. Consider the disciples in the storm. Mark 4 and 35. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are all perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey his voice or obeys him? See, I want you to know today, Jesus is asking you to stretch forth your faith. He's asking you to stretch forth. God is saying, trust me. Trust me. A lot of times we don't want to trust God because we feel like that it's going to be a disappointment. Listen, you're never to be disappointed in trusting God. It's never a disappointment in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to reassure you today, everything, as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying, trust me. He's saying, believe me. Know that I am with you. I am with you to the very ends of this world. He will be with us closer than a brother and a sister. He wants to be where we're at in the trials and the testing of our faith. He wants to be in the middle of it. He is not on the sideline looking at us that we're going to fail and that He wants us to fail. No, He wants us to succeed, but He wants us to know that we need to know that He is in charge. And He will take every circumstance of every situation and bring you through it. The Bible lets us know also, as we consider Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus in John 11th, the 11th chapter. We can pray and ask others to pray. Faith grows through answered prayers during trials. Let me say it again. Faith grows through answered prayers during trials. We can look to the prize that awaits us after our trials. After the trials, we can look to the prize. James 1 and 12 says this, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." Listen, if you endure the temptation, you endure the trials, you endure the things that you go through, guess what? A crown of life is set aside for you. All our trials are temporary. I want you to hear me today. All our trials are temporary. You will only go through this for a season. Did you know there's seasons of life? In the natural state, you have the spring, you have the summer, you have the fall, you have the winter. These are seasons that we experience through life. But I also want you to know today, not only do we experience it physically, but we experience things spiritually. There are seasons in our life. There are things that you and I go through. And the things that you're going through right now may not be the things that you go through next year. It may not go through, you may not go through the following year. But there are seasons of life, and there's never a guarantee of what that season is going to be like. There's never a guarantee. So therefore, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've heard me say this, and I will say it again. It is never for us to look at the natural eye about everything that's going on. It is for us to look within our hearts and allow Jesus with the spiritual eyes to begin to move in a mighty way in our individual lives. People can judge you up and down. They can see what they see. They can, as you've heard me say, they can be what they want to be, go where they want to go, do what they want to do, see what they want to see. But we are to stay the course in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when trials come our way, look beyond the trial that you're dealing with and say, I'm going to look to Jesus, because He's the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to look beyond that trial, and I am in Jesus' hands. And therefore, you will find a peace that will come over you, because now it's not about your ability. It's not about your intellect. It's not about what you're going to do. But now, you've now relinquished it, and you're saying, now, what, Jesus, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Jesus? I'm in your hands, Jesus. How you want to take this, Jesus? How you want to handle this, Jesus? I'm leaving it in your hands, because I'm taking my hands off of it, because I'll make a big mess of it. And Jesus, you know what Jesus does when you say, Jesus, take the, as the old song is from Carrie Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel. When you give Jesus the trial and everything, Jesus says, okay, I'll take it from here. What? Yeah. Jesus says, I'll take it from here. And listen, you can rest assured and rest to know that Jesus is going to take care of it. Why? Because you've allowed Him not to take part of it. You've allowed Him to take all of it. You've heard me say, He is Lord of all. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. In my closing, our Lord offers salvation by faith, and He offers eternal rewards. For those who trust in Jesus, I want you to know today the best is yet to come. Those that trust in Jesus, not in yourselves, but in Jesus, the best is yet to come. He's going to take care of you. Listen, when you keep your family in church, when you keep your family before the Lord, when you stay in prayer, I promise you, the road may get rocky. Things may get rocky. But you still trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the middle of getting close to an election for the next president. It doesn't matter who's in office. Jesus Christ is still in charge. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus knows exactly what you and I are going through. He knows exactly what's going on in America. He knows exactly what's taking place. It doesn't matter because Jesus is Lord of all. And He is King of kings and He's Lord of all. And we need to know that He's in charge and we need to let Him be in charge today. Stand with me across the building today. We need to let Him know. He already knows, but we need to let Him know.